Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. You surviving all this calamity that is going on in D.C. and around the nation, then you're doing good, because it's just a massive wreck and carnage. As I've been creating this metaphor that we have every train, and we've got a train station with track coming in from 360 degrees. So we've got track coming in from every direction. All the trains are all coming in at once. Full speed, no brakes, and it will be carnage. And I'm not sure, I can't prove, but there sure seems to be a lot of coincidences that are occurring. Now, that all lends to this big conspiracy theory. Don't have any evidence, at least not evidence of all of these things connecting, but this is not a coincidence. A lot of people are kind of alluding to who's paying for the caravan and other things that are going on. And so, and as we look at the deep state and start examining how far this goes, this just didn't happen yesterday. We have been worked and manipulated. As I tell people every Christmas, the whole fact that we celebrate Christmas and some of the things that we do that are considered traditions were basically manipulated traditions they technically have become generational traditions, but they've been manipulated into getting us to believe that they were a tradition to adopt, and then we've created those traditions. And that's the pure case of manipulation, social engineering, whatever you want to call it. But before I move on into the news and all of that type of thing, as well as Federalist Paper number 49, let me tell you that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, RepublicReview.org, and 1798Part2.org. This is the only show that will talk to you and help educate you, but more interestingly, we're focused in educating your state legislators. If you want to help us, you want to work with us, that's why we grovel during the show. To try to get that support so that we can start educating those few people that actually sit at the mantle of power to pull back on the reins of the Constitution and force the federal government to comply to the Constitution. The number to call in is 215-867-8255. That would transpose to 215-TOP-TALK. And so, as I already alluded to, the fact that this show is really focused on supporting those legislators in your state legislation or legislator that are serving within your legislature, we're focused on trying to help them understand what they need to do and in trying to teach them about the auditing principles of contract and the concept of Jefferson's auditing of the Constitution and calling for what he was calling for, conventions and committees of correspondence for delegates for both of those. What we're looking to do is getting the states together to start collaborating across state boundaries, from the state capitals to literally demand and going through all of the powers that are currently being executed by the federal government that have not been granted or delegated via the Article 5 process, because that is the only way that the federal government can do anything constitutionally. Therefore, what we are trying to assert and do is literally getting people to audit the Constitution, not just people, these state legislators, to where they force the federal government into compliance. And that is what we call Republic Review. So in doing that, we're working with your local GOP representatives, central committees, and so forth. And if you're a member of the central committee going, well, how come you're not working with me? Just reach out, info@ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We're focusing on specific states now, but any state that is ready to come to that mantle right now, Tennessee, Oklahoma, because we're not dialed into you yet, by all means, just reach out. We're happy to create those bridges and connections as soon as you're ready to do this. And so what we all need to do is kind of get behind this. And that's kind of one of the reasons why we've created the crowdfunding campaign on GoFundMe, where if you just search on GoFundMe for Reclaiming the Republic, you will see that this is actually an opportunity. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying not to be the pig in receiving all the blessings in doing all of this. I the Lord has truly blessed me. My wife and I we have no complaints. There's all sorts of things that we could easily, you know, have problems beset upon us, but we don't have those things. And so I have to truly say that we have been blessed by not having to worry about a lot of things that unfortunately many families do have to worry about. But with that, the Lord did not bless me with the finances to be able to do this on my own. I think it's kind of left to, you know, kind of like Lot. You know, Lot truly believed that Sodom and Gomorrah could be saved. I truly believe that there really are good, righteous people that want to save our liberties, that want to save this republic, because there's lots of people that are creating and people are joining these things. And so I truly believe that there are people that are people that want to and have the desire to saving our Constitution Republic. I believe there's lots of them, enough of them to actually do this. Now, the Lord hasn't proved me wrong and said, well, go find me one. Where I've said, there's hundreds of them out there. I believe there's millions of people, because you can just tell by the way people are voting. Now, whether people are willing to contribute, get involved, and what have you, and whether they want to, those are two different things. But if you want to contribute, if you want to help, because the money you give to this campaign will literally go, because we will be posting the receipts and the arrears. So as I move forward, as I go to Wyoming and as I go to other places and states and try to educate people, what you will get is you will get those costs of what it's costing me to do all of this. Because bottom line, it costs money to be on the air. It costs, you know, the time and money and out of the day to doing these things. And I'm not looking for wages. I'm just looking to not subsidize the entire revolution. Washington could not fight the revolution on his... He actually, being one of the richest men in the colonies, probably could have done a little more funding, but he didn't. And as a matter of fact, the principles that they all shared was no person should, you know, carry the burden by themselves. And so maybe that's the paradigm that I have. But if you want to contribute, sorry to belabor the point, just go to GoFundMe and search for Reclaiming the Republic. If you're on social media, and I need to put this actually up on my website, so I haven't got that there yet. Did I say I'm really doing this by myself? I don't have a team of people that are giving me IT support and all of that, because really, I got all the information, know what to do, even have the talent to doing it, but I only have so many minutes in a day, and I can only do so much. And so I apologize for not having the snappiest gee whiz webpage and all of those things. I truly believe that we can look past the buzz, we can look past the glitter, see and recognize the content and go, this will work, this will work. That's why I've yet to have anybody refute that this won't work. Most people, you know, they don't like it because it will fix the problem. And they're afraid of what that problem will be. Well, I would rather have at least control over the destinies and the decisions that I have to make over my problems than have the problem of government trying to solve every problem and every facet of my life and locking me down, because that's the direction we're going. And so every time I get more and more information on China, the more I am convinced that China is setting up the global stage for how to control the masses and in installing the beast in a country near you. Let me do the obligatory groveling. And again, like I said, Washington couldn't fight the revolution on his own, both funding and just manpower alone, pulling triggers and so forth. You have to have quite a few people pulling triggers. I don't need that much. If you really look at how we're focused and what we're doing, we could literally pull off a miracle season. And I truly mean that in the U.S. hockey team kind of essence. But bottom line, if you've got a computer, you've got a phone, just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will reach out back to you and kind of point you in the direction of what and how you can get things started in your state. What I probably need to do, another IT thing that I've got to get done, is kind of give you an idea of where we're working and where, you know, I could really use more help, and where I, you know, if you want to help, by all means, you know, I'll kind of, you know, just give you everything. We're trying to do everything so that we can have the content in videos so that I don't even have to travel. I don't want to have to spend money that I don't need to spend and ask you for money to doing this. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to capture all of these presentations, all of this information, so that, you know, people can start duplicating and actually start moving and making progress. The reason why the Tea Party has really become extinct is because it didn't have a plan. And those people who got involved in it, most of them, good people, just, you know, used it as a fulcrum to leverage themselves into a political opportunity to become a city council person, a county commissioner, supervisor, whatever you call them, state legislator or what have you, and then had left everybody else behind and go, well, now what do we do? And there are still some Tea Party groups out there, but they're dying on the vine and people are becoming apathetic. Anyway, I've got to go. I'll be right back after this. Thank you. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Yeah, so I don't know how to say this. Let me just wrap up. If you want to help, if you want to support, again, it is just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And so before I, you know, move forward into new snidbits in the Federalist Papers, We have, and you can actually kind of look at where the streaming, who's ranking in the streaming, because TalkStreamLive.com actually shows you kind of the live stack. And it's nice because we kind of watch this, and this is literally just who's, you know, who's leading in the pipe or the bandwidth for streaming. And what's really funny is that I've only been on the air for, it hasn't been a year. This coming up this February, I'll have made it a year. But it's nice to see that I'm at least beating CNN and a lot of these other liberal shows, NPR, All Things Considered, and those types of things. And, you know, I have to admit, when, you know, way back when in the 70s and 80s, I actually used to listen to All Things Considered and those types of shows. But anyway, obviously, things have really changed since then. But as I do every day, I do go through the news and I take a good glance at what's going on. And I look for signs to see if there's any potential that I don't have to do this anymore, that I can just quit. And I tell you, I have a firm affirmation that I will never be able to quit until we get to a point of literally being on the precipice of winning. So as I look for signs or any news that the federal government is finally in a position where they're going to disband tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers, and they're not. I'm confident that they never will. It is the antithesis of control and power. Power is always consuming, centralizing, and growing. And that's what the framers knew and understood. And they protected us from that by creating a hybrid constitutional republic that actually duplicated itself to two levels. You have a constitutional republic at the national level, and you have a constitutional republic at the state level, where you have sub-elements of government, such as counties, just like states. And counties have representation as well as voice, and that's all been perverted with democracy. But nevertheless, I digress. So let me just kind of move forward a little bit and go through some things in the news. And one thing that, you know, kind of I found a little interesting, because Fox kind of made a high level story of five things that could really have an impact in October. And one of those things is that Mueller could drop a bombshell that, you know, basically is ready to move forward on an indictment on Trump or something, just to create the same kind of movement and or news that would literally push an election in one direction or another, just kind of like Comey did. There's no doubt. Comey, you know how they talk about collusion and how there was, you know, Russia involvement affecting our election? You can't tell me that Comey and the FBI wasn't involved in that by him just going to the podium and talking about, yes, we're looking at, you know, the investigating the Trump campaign, and oh, well, there's nothing there with Hillary. That was direct involvement in manipulating the election. And so why is it that people aren't saying, hey, how come we're not going after those guys for affecting a U.S. election? I mean, Comey should probably go to jail for that. If collusion is such a bad thing, actually having an effect and actually going out and injecting oneself when your position, your job description is not to do those types of things, then there's no doubt in my mind Comey should be going to, he should go be going to Leavenworth, breaking big rocks into little rocks for the rest of his life and breaking those little rocks into sand. But anyway, they say that the Mueller dropping a time bomb might be one of those things that might make this October an October to remember. Definitely another one, and I consider this one probably the biggest thing out there, because I've seen more cases, and I'll talk about them. There are far more cases where people are saying that the caravan confrontation, as it escalates, it seems like the majority of the people are coming out, and this is becoming the foundation for a type of a mandate. Do the progressives really believe that there are enough of their ranks that are really going to come out and demand that we give away our nation and sovereignty? And I don't think so. I really don't believe that they have that many. That's why they try to avoid this issue. They try to convince you that they're all about the human suffering and helping people, when their real goal and objective is everything about subjugating people and moving us towards state slavery or slavery to the state. But it seems to me, as you look at these caravans, and if you look historically over all of the footage that we see, and even though they go into these youth centers and so forth and show you the kids, that we kind of blur them out, it seems to me that the majority of all of those that are part of these caravans, this current one, the videos I've definitely seen are literally seems like those people that are heading this way are young men in the perfect point in life to becoming a potential combatant. And why is that? I believe, and I think Trump is probably right, but I believe it may be not just MS-13. These may be radicals. I've even seen reports where they have found ISIS folks that have been mingled, commingled in this particular caravan. And so what are we to think? Who's funding this? Who's behind this? And so forth. So I believe that this caravan and this confrontation may escalate to becoming a election event or a banner event that may actually set the stage for a very specific outcome. And as the most of the pundits are pointing at, it seems like this really does favor the conservatives and patriotism, that more and more people will stand up and say, this isn't right. You know, America needs to put America first. And that's why they don't like, you know, using those, you know, even putting those things in and bashing the, you know, Trump putting America first. They don't even want to do that anymore. That's why they basically go after him over little issues instead of the grander ideology or paradigm that he has in putting America first. He's absolutely right. A nation should be focused on its sovereignty and what is best for itself. And so they try their best to avoid that, which means that it tells me that, you know, they lose traction and they lose people watching and they just lose people's convictions. They have realized that that is not the direction that they need to be leveraging or using. And so anyway, another, the number three out of the five things that could make this an October to remember and or election, Trump's new tax cuts could be coming around the corner. Those could drop this month or right before the election and be huge. Impeachment talks are obviously, because those impeachment talks have been going for 2 years, and it seems like it's becoming a culmination. And as a matter of fact, it seems like the progressives are trying to downplay it as much as they possible in a very contested or tightly contested race, because a lot of people do not want to see America go through an impeachment over stupidity, over the division of political ideologies and so forth. In other words, most of America is not convinced that Trump should be impeached. It is only the hardcore communists that want to impeach him to try to put a little stain on his presidency. And if they don't get the Senate, they will not succeed, because they, you know, they'll basically do like just what they did with Clinton. They were able to successfully impeach him, but they could not get past the punishment phase. And so nothing happened, because that's left to the Senate. And it looks like the Senate will be retained by the Republicans. So with all of that, it seems like the impeachment talks, that's probably why it's number four. And the fifth potential that Fox is actually throwing out there that could be an injector in the outcome or for October, the election, could be a foreign flare-up. In other words, greater tensions. Let's say China shoots. So what would happen is if there's any hostilities from a foreign nation striking out at America, then I will tell you it will piss Americans off and it will go in Trump's favor. So I believe the progressives really have to do everything, and all of these socialist communist nations that are out there fighting for the world order, China, Russia, even Saudi Arabia and so forth, all of these countries do not want to have that kind of an influence. And so technically, I don't think that that's much of one unless Trump kind of creates that flare-up, just the way FDR did. Remember how FDR was literally pushing Germany and Japan into, come on, hit us, come on, hit us, come on, because they were doing, he was doing anything and everything he could to try to get into that war, because he knew that we needed to get into that war to be able to make the money or the manufacturing and get involved in those controls and so forth, because that was a part of setting the stage for the UN, which was a, you know, a rebound or a dead cap bounce off of the League of Nations. And so if you understand what that means, that's, you know, from the falling of a market, well, in falling of global governance from the League of Nations, what came out of that was the UN, and that was FDR's little baby. But I digress. I've got to go for a hard break, but I will be right back with more for you. So please stay tuned. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Okay, so if you haven't heard, Governor Cuomo has been actually working his fellow states in trying to create allies in literally going after and bankrupting the National Rifle Association. And so he's gotten three additional states to kind of follow up on his call to take legal action against the gun right group's insurance program. And so I want to put this into context to the Constitution, and actually more into context of the ideology of liberty and subjugation. And so there are lots of really bad organizations. And as a matter of fact, you and I could sit down and we could identify a lot of these, some of these funded by Soros, MoveOn.org, and so forth. And we consider them, you know, insidious parasites in our culture and in our society. But we do not have anybody that is on the side of liberty that is championing the literally bankrupting and shutting these guys down. I mean, if they're breaking the law or what have you, that's fine. But literally going after them and using the court process to bleed them, that's what the government does. And as a matter of fact, in contract law, there's a term called collateral estoppel. Collateral estoppel means that you only have one chance in your litigation process to be able to, you know, fix, and this is in contract law, to fix your dispute in your contract. And so that's, and I've talked about this with the Convention of States and so forth, that that's why we don't want the Convention of States to move forward, because people will consider that that's the same thing as an audit. Well, it's not, but they will try to tie those things together. And so in contract law, you only have one chance to go after, because it has been proven and it has been done for years, where the entity that has the deep pockets, that continually can spend the money on legal costs, will literally bury their opponent in legal costs to where they force them into bankruptcy. And that's what Cuomo is trying to do with these other states, in trying to go after them and giving them these horrendous legal fees and challenges. So anyway, this, and the reason I'm pointing this out, is this goes to that scale of liberty where, again, if you embrace liberty, then you are okay with people having a difference of opinion. We have a constitution. We have a constitutional process. You want to change the laws. You want to get rid of the Second Amendment. Then have Congress write an amendment to the Constitution or to the Bill of Rights to get rid of that, and get all 38 states, or at least 38 states, to get on board in abolishing our right to bear arms. That is the process. Well, good luck, by the way, because you won't get 38 states to do that. And they know that. So what they do is they subvert the system, and they try to go after these people that are supporting the Constitution. And as far as I'm concerned, this is treasonous. This is literally taking action to try to destroy something that is actually supporting the constitutionality of something, and they're trying to destroy that. That is how the subjugationists, those on the opposite end of the scale of liberty, are wired. These folks do not care if they kill you. That is just collateral damage, and the end justifies their means. Again, they don't care if they have to throw you in jail and never see you again. You die, it doesn't matter, as long as they get their ends. And that's why they're wired the way they do. Another thing that kind of proves to this as well, about the ideology and so forth. You notice that Pelosi's kind of mums, or really not speaking too much about when and how she would give up the gavel after floating this transitional speakership. In other words, let me be the speaker again if we win, and then we'll talk about how we transition. No. You can come up with a plan right now, and we can all agree upon it. But this is all about control. And those who control Pelosi do not want to see somebody that they don't control coming in and taking over their communist movement within the Democratic Party in Congress. That is it. They tend to try to seize power and, somebody that is on the outside. And that is why the communist revolution in France, the French Revolution is what everybody calls it, but it was the communist revolution in France, failed because there was this despot called Napoleon who rose up and actually took the sentiments and kind of championed what everybody wanted to hear using his dogma, and got everybody behind him, and they failed to actually succeed in establishing a communist government. Now, it's unfortunate that that happened, because we would have had then another good case of empirical data that proves that communism would have failed again. Just in the revolution, they failed, but they would have failed if they would have tried to actually create and sustain a communist government in France at the end of the 17th century, especially because the economics of the mercantile system was moving away towards a free market that America was instigating and starting to literally beat everybody. It wasn't until the 1900s, just this last century, where America, by violating its own constitution, started reeling in corporations and started reeling in businesses and so forth. And that's why I've been telling you, I told you this yesterday, that's why America does not have a free market anymore. It basically has a mercantile system where the government is controlling who can do what and who can't do what. And they create these barriers to entry so that only good people, those who, you know, they're willing to allow in business, you know, stay in business. It's kind of like that Amazon thing. Amazon should have been shut down. The only reason Amazon was never shut down because they were losing money every year was because they were feeding money, and I should say money, they were feeding information into the CIA or into the intelligence community. And I mean, I would guess to say that is how they were buying that information. The government allowed them to exist because they were providing a service that was very valuable. Anywho, I do have a couple more things. Let me see if I can get through these before the end of the segment. Ex-Speaker Boehner, or Boehner, there we go. That was a slip, of course. But Boehner, he's pitching out to investors on the marijuana industry, and he's trying to get more and more people in on cannabis, especially. And he's doing this now because they're getting this into, you know, into a position with Trump to possibly legalize marijuana nationally. So the ex-speaker on Tuesday made a big public pitch for why Americans should start invest in the growing market of marijuana. Just kind of like, why don't you invest in, you know, Budweiser and Jack Daniels and all of these other good liquor manufacturing companies? I mean, these are all good, right? And getting back to that caravan, Leslie Marshall, who is a huge, I mean, if you listen to her, she's definitely a secular progressive. I would consider her a huge communist supporter because she believes in the state, that the state should be controlling lots of things. Maybe not full tyranny of communism, but she was on Foxes Outnumbered. And she made a good point that kind of spoke towards Trump's rhetoric regarding the illegal immigration, and that the border wall and the caravan could, and this is her assertion, could motivate both sides of the aisle to come out. But I'm telling you, she's saying that because she's trying to make it seem like, hey, you're all taking a big chance that the Democrats won't come out because of this. The only people that will be coming out because of this will be possibly the illegal aliens that have been able to obtain votes and those hardcore, you know, small factions that would finally be, you know, use this as a catalyst. I got to go vote because we got to give away our sovereignty. We got to get rid of this country. Those people. There are plenty of Democrats that do believe in sovereignty. They still believe in the apple pie. They're union workers or what have you. And they're not going to, you know, say bad things about America and so forth. They may say bad things about Trump's Republicans and so forth, but they still do love America, apple pie, baseball, and the Constitution. And as far as I'm concerned, this is all in response to Trump's comments yesterday in Texas when he basically said this, and it's, quote, this will be the election of the caravan, Kavanaugh, law and order, instead of the rule of law, he says law and order, tax cuts, and common sense. And so that right there, that tax cuts, may allude to the concept that he may be ready to drop right before the election his second wave of tax cuts, so that people go, wow, look at that. We're going to be saving even more money. Because I have heard plenty of people, I've engaged with plenty of people that have come right back to me and said, hey, you know, this is great. I actually see more money. We're keeping more money. We're earning more money. We love what's going on with Trump. And that actually resonates with the American people, because when your bottom line is affected, that you actually have a little bit more spending power, that's big. Because unfortunately, people have, you know, what's in it for me type of mentality. Now, if it's going to destroy us and bankrupt us, like Social Security and all these other things, unfortunately, people don't care about that as long as it benefits them. So we kind of have this destructive mentality here in America, but it is what it is, and it's no different anywhere else practically. There's very few. Those people have to have been brought up in a completely different society and educational system to really think that, oh, it's far better that, you know, we all suffer so that we can all get through this. because that is a tough row to hoe. And so anyway, actually, some of what I'm doing is kind of doing that. Either we take our medicine now or we're going to really feel harder lumps later. And that's actually Milton Friedman saying that, but I'm on a hard break, so I'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so let's get into a constitutional perspective, because I've kind of talked about this and we've danced around this. So I'm actually going to cite the Constitution. This is the guarantee clause again, Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. That was the first thing that's going to guarantee. And second, and shall protect each of them against invasion. And the third, and on application of the legislature or the executive, when the legislator cannot be convened, against domestic violence. And so, in other words, if there is like a huge uprising, because there had been histories of large uprisings where maybe the militia and or what have you couldn't quell the issue. A lot of people think that the federal government in cases of national emergency can just do anything and everything. No. It's pretty clear that they guarantee to every state that they shall protect them against invasion, or that they will be a republican form of government, and this is the kicker, and on application of the legislature. The reason why this is a kicker, and this is important, because I keep telling you, it is the legislatures are the sovereigns. Most people look at the governor as the chief executive. He's like the president. He's the king of the state. No, he only executes the laws faithfully. The sovereigns, the powerful people of the state, is the collective legislator or the legislative body. Legislatures are the game changers. They are the power plays. That's why there's a lot of focus on politics of how legislators, shouldn't be taking money or what have you, even though our Congress is completely corrupt on all of that. If you look at how they pay to play and everything else within their committees and so forth, it is a joke. It literally is a joke. They've made it a laughingstock of integrity. It is not a thing of integrity anymore. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because there is a requirement for the federal government to protect us from invasions. Why is this important? Because Jerry Brown of California has said he does not want Trump to do this. He does not want Trump to execute the law faithfully. In other words, what Jerry Brown is doing is tantamount to treason. And if Jerry Brown asserts any executive authority in stopping the federal government by bringing the military in, they need to arrest him and any and all people that are going to actually try to stop Trump and the federal government from executing the Constitution faithfully for treason, and they should be tried, because what they're doing, in essence, is giving aid and comfort to those who are trying to come and invade us. Now, whether you want to consider this an invading army or an invasion of, it doesn't matter. They are coming here directly challenging and directly trying to break our laws by just coming here and demanding that we let them in. And so that's why California is, and so I don't think this caravan is going to get close to California. Their quickest and straight shot up is, I believe, into Texas. That's why, you know, they've constantly been coming across the Rio Grande, because, you know, it takes a couple extra days to travel all that way out to the coast and get over there, or going along that route of the coast just takes much longer. And so I want to make sure I kind of get into that constitutional perspective, because that is what the federal government is supposed to do. They are supposed to protect us from invasion. You know, when people say that the federal government has the power to, you know, step in a national emergency or what have you, the word emergency does not, there's not one instance of it in the Constitution. Okay? So whoever is saying that, you know, you may want to correct them and go, well, show me where it says emergency in the Constitution. And they will probably go, oh, well, I guess it doesn't exist. Anyway, back to the 49th article of the Federalist Papers, where Madison is replying to the Anti-Federalists, where they brought up this concept of conventions and a different methodology in enforcing compliance. Clearly, in the first paragraph, I clearly stated that what they're trying to do is, and this is what it talks about, that a convention is necessary for altering the Constitution or correcting breaches of it. And when he gets into this, as I go through the rest of this, and hopefully I won't be able to get all of this done today because it's a couple of pages, but the whole point that I'm trying to bring up and trying to show you as I read through this, you will not find Madison once mentioning this convention that he's talking about, dealing with encroachments, as a mechanism or an Article 5 convention. Because when you're dealing with violations of the Constitution, you are not applying or asking to amend it. You are demanding compliance. There are two completely different things. And so even though the John Birch Society and other organizations literally go into seizures and fits when you ever mention the word convention, you have to keep in context that they use the word a lot. And unfortunately, groups like that get into the irrational state of going, oh, you said the C word. And they literally just put fingers in your face and going, you know, what a sinner. How dare you? And I'm going, really? You know, how? Very immature. Grow up, okay? But let me get into this, because the whole point of the convention that Madison is talking about in Article 49 is literally an auditing process. And so the several, and as a matter of fact, they didn't even come to this conclusion in Article 49. He was literally just kind of expounding upon, and like I pointed out at the very beginning, he's going, this is actually a very brilliant concept. However, you know, it was in context to the state. How we kind of, you know, get our arms around this with the national government would be different, because the convention would be with the people in the state, But in this particular case, the parties to the contract are the states. And so let me move on. And in the second paragraph, Madison says, the several departments being perfectly coordinate by the terms of their common commission, none of them, it is evident, can pretend to an exclusive or superior right of settling the boundaries between their respective powers. And how are the encroachments of the stronger to be prevented or the wrongs of the weaker to be redressed without an appeal to the people themselves, who, as the grantors of the commissions, can alone declare its true meaning and enforce its observance? There is certainly great force in this reasoning, and it must be allowed to prove that the constitutional road to the decision of the people ought to be marked out and kept on for certain great and extraordinary occasions. Now, I'm scratching my head thinking, I wonder if spending us into bankruptcy and oblivion, would that be one of those extraordinary occasions? Or where they're exercising so many unconstitutional powers that they're literally able to fund a revolution of communism within our own country using our own tax dollars to do that by exploiting the social entitlements. Maybe that would be extraordinary occasions. You know, I could come up with lots of these. But anyway, let me move on. And he says, but there appear to be insuperable objections against the proposed recurrence to the people as a provision in all cases for keeping the several departments of power within their constitutional limits. In the first place, and again, he is very myopic here, and he's still focusing at the state level, right? Because he's not going into the states as the party here. But as you know, during the ratification debates, shortly after he wrote this, he clearly stated that the states were the parties, not we the people. It's we the people of the sovereign states. So anyway, he goes on and says, in the first place, the provision does not reach the case of a combination of two of the departments against the third. If the legislative authority, which possesses many means of operating on the motives of other departments, should be able to gain to its interest either of the others or even one-third of its members and remaining department, could derive no advantage from remedial provision. I do not dwell, however, on this objection because it may be thought to be rather against the modification of the principle than against the principle itself. In the next place, it may be considered as an objection inherent to the principle that as every appeal to the people would carry an implication of some defect in the government, frequent appeals would, in great measure, deprive the government of that veneration which time bestows on everything, and without, perhaps, the wisest and freest governments would not possess the requisite stability. And this is a very interesting angle that he points out, and it's very scholarly and very astute, because he is literally pointing out the fact that as governments, you know, have proven themselves over a period of time, like the United States government, who abided by the Constitution for at least a quarter century, was absolutely able to really become beloved by the American people and even people abroad. I am G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic, and we'll have more of this tomorrow. So God bless, and we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.